It's time for Sweet Home Cannabama, a show that'll answer all your questions, provide accurate information, and dispel the myths of cannabis. And have your specific questions answered by emailing jennifer@cannabama.com or text or call 343-0106. And now, for all things cannabis in Alabama, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm your host, Jennifer Boozer Stewart. We're here in studio tonight with Mr. John Fisher. I'm going to go ahead and introduce him since he's right in your face. Yep. We're here to talk about all things cannabis in Alabama. And we're here every Monday night at 7 o'clock here on FM Talk 106.5. We're also live streaming from YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, X. So if you are watching us on social media or on YouTube, share button, hit it, share us with your family and friends, because we always have something interesting to say, and we want to make sure that the people of Alabama and around the nation know exactly what's happening. I wanted to bring up a couple of things before we get into the meat of our talk tonight.
The meat of the talk, right? Are you bringing me on this show to be the meat of the talk? Oh, my God. My wife is shuddering right now at listening to this. My mother, too. Sorry, Mom. I'm the meat of the talk tonight, Mom.
Yep, he's just a piece of meat, y'all.
That's a sad... Well, we've gone out to the back of the pasture.
Aged. It's aged. Oh, aged beef.
Aged beef. I was going to say thank you. Well-aged beef.
Yes.
And it ain't all grain-fed, yeah. I can assure you.
Yes, and it's on the clearance rack. But anyway... okay, so businesses in the hemp industry are already reporting losing merchant processing, which is the services that a store uses to be able to take your credit card when you want to make a purchase. PayPal, Venmo, getting canceled, all the things, despite having nearly a year until the new federal rules go into effect, if they go into effect, because we know that Representative Mace has already put forth a resolution to repeal that segment of the continuing resolution appropriations bill that allowed for this 0.4 milligram total THC nightmare on a federal level.
What we know is that people don't do anything and then wait a year to implement it, right?
Right. Right.
So just to start asking yourself all the questions, why would they wait a year?
Right.
They just wanted to get the government back open, and then they're going to circle back around and deal with hemp. I mean, again, everybody needs to just take a step back and start looking at
similar politics. To when in last January, when Senator Melson dropped 132 to start the conversation with a complete and total ban.
Good old Tim.
Yes, yes. That was an interesting way. When I heard that he said that, I said, that's kind of like telling your wife, honey, you hurt my feelings with divorce papers. Can we get from A to B before we jump all the way to Z? So that's where we're at with this. Instead of having a limited amount of months during a legislative session, we have 365 days. And we know that people like Rand Paul and Representative Massey and Mace are working on solutions for that. And there's a lot of lobbying going on. There's people in the hemp industry that have already been up in Washington, D.C.
There's a buttload of money being spent.
Oh,
let's
yeah.
just get right down to it.
Right.
There is a lot of money being
right.
spent.
Right. Well, alcohol has entered the chat. There's
yes.
the alcohol makers who don't want this at all because it makes less bourbon and tequila sales.
Oh, but then there's the alcohol makers and distributors that have figured out
they want to hem up their bottom line that they're losing.
If you can't beat them,
right.
buy them.
Right.
And so that's what they're doing. No, I mean, they're buying up companies and contracts.
Not join them. Just
no,
buy them
No, can't beat
out.
Them, buy them. So the alcohol industry, a lot of these guys that have been losing market share to hemp drinks over the last 3 to 5 years,
mm-hmm.
they figured it out. They're screwed. Literally,
yep.
they
yep.
are screwed, and we, the public, are wising up. The internet is the great equalizer.
Yes, it is.
Information is getting out. Alcohol is bad. Cannabis is good. You can't lie to us anymore.
Right.
Right?
Well, in Generation Z, I use my son as an example all the time. He's 24.
Don't do that. I saw him roll his
He's
eyes.
He's 24, and
that.
People his age, it's not a taboo topic like it was for us.
No.
It's not weird. It's not this unknown thing that they're getting away with.
No.
They know what cannabinoids and terpenes are. They know what gut health is, and they know what addiction is because our generation has really, you know.
They know what it is to see your dad come home at 2:30 drunk after he just ran his car into the neighbor's mailbox. Right.
Well, and we were the proliferators of the opioid crisis.
Oh, we perfected it.
You know, right? I was myself. One of the reasons I'm sure my son would make different choices than me is because he saw me in that state.
But let's back up, though. It wasn't just you. It was the doctors and the pharmacies, the pharmaceutical companies that were pushing synthetic poisonous drugs that were highly addictive, that were highly abusive to the system, to the person themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They were pushing that instead of natural plant-based medicines, natural plant-based alternatives.
Right.
Before we ever had poisonous pills, we lived and medicated with plants.
Right.
I will invite anybody in this world to come on your show. I will give them $1,000 cash. Prove to me that before we made pills, we were not taking plants and using them as medicine.
Right.
We were. It's a fact.
We were, yeah. Right? 90% of American pharmacopoeia was cannabis-based before the Marijuana Tax Act in the 30s.
And then people like you who had a legitimate issue, I got injured, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I had a work injury or a sports injury or just an accident. Literally went to a doctor, someone that we put the all right, wait a minute. You tell me another man in your life, you've only met him for 3 minutes, but you'll take off all your clothes, let him feel every part of your body, and then write you a piece of paper, and you'll go take whatever he told you to take.
Without question.
All right. That's trust.
Right.
We, for decades, went to those guys trusting that we needed help with pain.
Mm-hmm.
And what did they give us? They, along with the pharmaceutical industry, created this crap. And they gave synthetic poison. They knew that this stuff was bad.
Right.
Oh, maybe the first 5 years they didn't. Well, what about the next 35 years?
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And so, I mean, I hear what you're saying about you. No. Let's begin to address the accountability in the room.
I didn't know that you could be a drug addict with something from CVS that your doctor gave you. I honestly didn't.
Thank you. And so therein lies some of the responsibility, but nobody wants to talk about that.
Right.
You know, we always like to demon and villainize things that aren't really villainous when they're hiding the villain in plain sight.
Right.
Alcohol, number one villain.
Absolutely.
I mean, we could spend a whole show on that. More deaths every year, alcohol, than anything else you could just about combine. But nobody wants to talk about that monster.
Right.
If we're so concerned about public safety, like Representative Witt and Senator Melson, you know, this whole HB 445, and we can get into the structure of the bill, but I mean, it was even in the bill itself, public safety.
Right.
I mean, if you want to keep the public safe, let's stop selling alcohol from Thursday at noon until Sunday at noon.
Right.
I mean, if you want to talk about public safety, let's cut selling that crap out on the weekends.
Right.
Where people have nothing to do with it.
Or on every corner. On every corner.
Well, I mean, sell it on every corner. But on a weekend where you got nothing to do but drink and get stupid, we're not going to sell it.
Because that's when most people get into accidents and fights and go to jail.
I mean, the American public needs to quit accepting the lies of politicians. And I don't mean to lump them all in the same category, but that's what it is.
Right.
What do they call these public? Anyway, I don't. There are no public safety issues here.
Mm-mm.
They're creating them. They're fabricating them, and selling them to the public. People like my parents for decades, and now that I know the truth, thankfully I'm able to educate them.
Right.
But what's even better is they're seeing it for themselves.
Right. No, my mom is the same way.
They're pointing things out to me now at 85.
Right.
So that's why I said the internet is the great equalizer. Information is getting out.
Mm-hmm.
They can't keep lying to us any longer.
Right.
And, you know, I think that with this HB 445, there's several things that they did, some good, mostly bad.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot in there. There's a lot to say in HB 445.
There is. And we're going to get into that in a few minutes because words matter.
Yes.
And I love John's perspective because as an attorney, he is very honed in on the definition of every single word, every it and or the comma, everything. And he I love to for him to hand me a sheet of paper. And whatever the yellow highlighter part is, I'm fixing to learn something that does not occur to me. And so that's why one of the many reasons I talk to John as often as I do, but I wanted to have him on the show because, you know, there's a lot of things that even I don't understand. And I am so sick of talking about this, y'all. We mentioned that. We are so stinking sick of talking about HB 445. But we can't really stop because until everyone understands what we are coming to understand, how can we fight this?
Right.
You know, we don't know what and how we're supposed to combat this because we are, just like they don't understand or claim not to, it doesn't seem they understand the intricacies of the plant and what they're even doing. We don't understand all of the intent and all those things. When we come back from the break, we're going to get into it more with John Fisher. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back, everybody. Tonight we're here with John Fisher. Real quick before we get into the meat.
Oh, the meat.
I wanted to show y'all these beautiful new drinks that
yes.
John brought. They're called Hijack.
Hijack!
They are adorable on the packaging. The packaging, you know, packaging shouldn't matter as much as it does, but it matters.
It does.
But these are beautiful, and they come in Outback Cherry, Lemon Tea, Fruit Smoothie, and Blackberry. We're going to give away a couple of these.
Ooh.
So if you would like to try one, email me, jenniferboozerstewart@gmail.com. Jennifer Boozer Stewart.
Is that all one word? God, that's a long word.
Well, nobody would know me if I just took out the boozer altogether. So, yes.
Jay Boozer Stewart, right?
But, yes, jenniferboozerstewart@gmail.com and get you one of these Hijacks.
Hijack. Yeah, I mean, it's a really...
And my friends in retail, order a sample.
Absolutely. And it's a really cool deal. It's a new product, new drink line. The flavors, that fruit smoothie is insane. They're all really good. They're made by, I'm going to say, cannabis rebels. These drinks right here, guys, no joke, these drinks have their roots in cannabis lore. And I obviously didn't know, but you know mm-hmm. that Waxy Brown.
Oh,
I was
yes.
specifically told that Waxy Brown lore is in genesis
and
of
Waxy,
these cans.
You know, and Waxy passed away a few months ago. He's been on the show many times. At one point, he and I were both the only FM radio shows.
Right.
And he and his crew helped me figure out how to live stream and do live radio at the same time. And I got to do their Thanksgiving special and all sorts of fun stuff. And everybody in the industry misses Waxy. So all you got to say is it's got a little Waxy in
it. The importance of that to me is this. You've got a lot of Johnny-come-latelys getting into this business now
yep.
because they see where they can make a dollar.
Right.
Alcohol manufacturers are now charading and parading as hemp manufacturers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people need to know who you're doing business with. And that's why, I had a store, you know, we did together.
Yep.
It's important to me, the products that I offer to the public,
right?
To know that not only they're good products, but they're made by good people.
Absolutely. And I love that I got to be picky in that
right,
way.
Right.
When you were the only one doing something in the beginning and the only highway into the region, you get to see everything. I got free stuff for the first 3 years every
right,
single day.
Right.
Isaiah can attest to the fact that we had sample drawers and sample boxes. I'm still going through all my things, still finding product samples that we just never got around to. But you get to know the CEOs.
The people.
Get to know the growers.
Well, you hope you do, right?
Yeah.
You hope that they're small enough or that they're
yes.
personal enough that they will reach out and you will get to know them versus some guy sitting in a chair in a big city who's
right.
got, you know.
But you never came into Cannabama and saw
right.
a national
right.
brand mass-produced that everybody has heard of.
Exactly.
Because I knew that there were better products made in small batches by real people like John and Kara Grady in Missouri, you know, and people like that who this is their life. They grow it, they make it, they live it. And that's who I wanted to do business with. People that loved what they do in this industry as much as I love what I do. And at the end of the day, our only concern was, is it safe? And is it effective? And will this help people? And that's all that mattered. I don't care about the big flashy names.
And so, and I'm with you. So that's why I have, and look, you won't see this anywhere. Hey, look at this. Four packs in a fancy 8-pack carrying box.
Right.
Now
watch
it. You've not seen this anywhere before, but I bet you pretty soon you're going to see other people following our trend, right? Mm-hmm. So if you really want to do business with good people and know that there is cannabis lore in and love in what you're doing, Hijack is definitely a brand of drinks that carries that.
Right.
And that's something that you ought to do. Put more of these guys out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
The guys that you,
Well, Waxy served time for the plant.
Oh, come on,
a lot of guys.
Yeah.
Even, you know, and Waxy was a veteran.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, Waxy did it all, and he is part of that legacy market, the illegal black market that became illegal market. But the people that were doing it before it was cool and the people that were doing it before it was legal.
Well, they were believers that were committed to something. And it's nice now to see things turn towards the truth.
Right.
And to see a lot of what everybody, the struggles that people. Look, I practiced law for 30 years. I represented hundreds, if not thousands, of people charged with marijuana crimes.
Right.
The things that I've seen people go to prison for 20 years for selling a bag of marijuana.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, those guys that back then made it through, you know, guys like Waxy and all, we owe
everything.
Well, we definitely owe them a debt of gratitude and to say thank you. And so if there's other people out there that have that sort of heritage, you know, those are the guys that we want to promote and do business with. So,
absolutely. And the people, you know what I'm sick of too? I'm sick of considering, now I'm not open anymore, but considering doing business with companies that don't have the, what's the proper word here, the cojones to get
balls.
Up and go lobby.
You can say balls on the radio. I know that because when I had my show, I could say that.
You're right. They don't have the balls to go to Montgomery or go to Washington, D.C. or wherever their state capital is and fight for this.
Right.
And not just because, oh, hey, I want to make a bunch of money. But people like me, I don't get paid to lobby. I don't get paid to go up there. I go up there on my own dime at my own peril because I hate that place.
And we did go up there.
Because it's worth it.
And we did go up there.
We did.
We spent days and weeks going up there lobbying for this HB 445. Mm-hmm. And what we got is not what we wanted.
Mm-mm.
Right. But it's something, and speaking of, let's talk about HB.
Yeah, let's talk about it. By the way, real quick, ABC still does not even have an application for the licenses yet. We are now 30 days out from the deadline to get a license.
Surprise!
There's no license to get, y'all, and I don't even know what that means for the businesses that are still trying to stay open. Because do they have to close down until they get a license? How does that work?
Look, man, this is typical politics. These guys had years to get together with people in the industry and really create a responsible law. But instead, you got two boobs in the middle of the night that got together and threw this thing together. They used people from the alcohol industry to write the bill.
Yep.
And now you got a big screwed up bunch of mess. Doesn't make sense. There's a lot of problems with it. They're putting people out of business. They're hurting folks.
The only people that seem to be happy with it are Witt and Melson. Not even ABC wants this.
I don't think to be honest with you, Andy Witt, I don't know what that guy's happy with. He makes
himself.
the way he carried himself with the gloves and all.
Oh,
That's just trash theater. And you know that whatever, man. You do you. I'm not going to mislead people like you do. But then Tim Melson, I don't believe Tim's happy with this. I don't know who he sold his soul to, but he's not happy. Tim Melson looked me in my eye, and he told me that if he banned hemp, he said, John, I'm not going to ban hemp in Alabama. If I do that, it'll hurt a lot of people. Well, Tim, a lot of folks are hurting, man, because you banned it and you overregulated it, and you confused the process and the people. So let's take a look at HB 445 and what it did or didn't do.
Yes.
Do you have anything in questions or do you?
Well, I mean, what does it exactly do? You've tried to explain it to me. I want you to go through it with me because I know that everybody out there thinks a lot of the same things that I do about these definitions. Again, back to the words and what do they mean?
Right. And that's important because you need to understand, you know, everybody say, oh, if I didn't know. Well, ignorance of the law is no excuse.
Right.
And
That's the scary part, right? That we don't know. It's so vague on purpose. And then the rules and regs muddied the waters even more. Now there's no license. Like, no one knows what's happening, what's going to happen. That's not okay. No. If you can't give us a choice to comply with the law or not, if we don't even know what the law is. But then you're right. Ignorance of the law is not a legal to defend yourself with.
So that's why I encourage people really to read it and to understand it. And when I say read it critically. Don't just read it and accept what you read.
Right.
Because a lot of times what you read is influenced by what someone else told you.
Okay. Well, that and your limited my for me, I'll speak for myself. I read it all wrong. I did. It's still bad. It's still right. not a good bill. Right.
But
the way that I read it, I didn't come to anywhere near the same conclusion you did. And when you highlight those words in yellow and break it down, it makes sense. So let's start with definitions.
Right. Definitionally, what happened in HB 445 was it created some new categories of goods, if you will. Prior to July 1st, we had no law in Alabama regarding hemp products, okay? They created this new, brand new law, HB 445, was passed. And in that law, you created categories now that we didn't have. Now we have consumable hemp products.
Right.
Okay?
Before, everything was just a hemp product.
Right. It was just...
What does that even mean?
We didn't know what it was. What's a hemp product?
Right.
Well, you know, got hemp in it.
Right, okay. Exactly. What does that mean?
And so, you know, to begin with, we'll just say the big thing was they created things, mm-hmm. a consumable hemp product. They also created a non-consumable hemp product, and then they created a smokable hemp product.
Mm-hmm.
See, those three did not exist definitionally before this law.
Right.
So now you have to operate with that understanding. What is a consumable hemp product? What is a non-consumable hemp product, and what is a smokable hemp product, and can I use those? Can I sell those? What happens, you know, and what forms can I access?
Or possess them even, yeah.
All right. So as far as, let's take them one at a time, a consumable hemp product. So we're talking about licensed stores,
mm-hmm.
right? Because the law says, this law applies, you have to have a license if you're going to sell consumable hemp products.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's where all this begins. The license that you're talking about, January 1, you're supposed to have a license issued by the ABC board in order to sell what is now called a consumable hemp product.
Right.
You aptly pointed out, ABC says we probably won't even have a license for you to apply for until February.
Right.
Which just further shows they weren't prepared. ABC's overworked, understaffed. You can't double their workload and expect them to get anything.
Right,
So a consumable hemp product, what is it? Are we up against a break? Are we coming in?
In just a minute.
All right.
You have to assume, and we'll get back into this after the commercial break, to assume that means it's meant to be consumed, mean eaten or something like that. When we come back from the break, we're going to break down what is consumable and non-consumable with John Fisher.
Hey.
Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking with John Fisher. I want to jump right back in. We were just about to define what is consumable hemp.
You've been sitting on the edge of your seats, we know.
Yes, so let's get into it. So consumable, we have to assume consumption means put it in your body.
No, you cannot assume anything, right?
Well, that's what we're all doing,
right?
So you're going to tell us for
sure. In order to that's the thing. In the law, they created a definition of not only consumable hemp product, they also created a definition for consumption.
Mm.
Okay? So I'm going to read this to you. A consumable hemp product is a finished product intended for human consumption that contains hemp, so forth
right.
and so on. Now, within the law, there are also other definitions, right? One of which is consumption. So it says a finished product intended for human consumption. The definition of consumption is, in the law, consumption means is defined as ingestion or application topically to the skin or hair.
Right.
Okay. So now so then a consumable hemp product is a finished product that is intended for a human to ingest or to apply topically to their skin or hair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, let's look at ingestion. That's a funky sounding word. That
right.
sounds real funny, technical. Well, if you define ingestion, it means to eat mm-hmm. for the purpose of digesting. So then you go a consumable hemp product is a finished product intended for eating or to be applied topically to the skin or hair. So now, moving forward, January 1st, in the state of Alabama, if you're going to sell a consumable hemp product, you must have a license.
Right.
So I have to have a license. If a store is going to sell any hemp product that is intended to be eaten or applied topically to the skin or hair.
Right.
So that's what's sold in a licensed store.
Right.
Now, what did you notice was missing from the definition of consumption?
Vapor, inhalation.
Inhalation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So now, wait a second. Wait a minute. You're telling me that a consumable hemp product is only a product that is intended to be eaten or applied to your skin and hair. So if I'm going to sell a consumable hemp product, I have to have a license. Then all I can sell is something I can eat
or
I can put on my skin or hair.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So then we go further on in the law. A non-consumable hemp product.
Not regulated.
Right. A non-consumable hemp product would be an unfinished product that is intended for human consumption.
Right.
Or a finished product that is not intended to be eaten or put on skin or hair.
Right.
Okay. Now, wait a minute. So non-consumable hemp products are not regulated.
Right.
There's no packaging requirement. There's no milligram requirement. There's no license requirement if I sell a non-consumable hemp good. So if I sell a hemp product that is strictly for vaporizing,
mm-hmm.
under the law, you don't have to have a license to do that.
Right.
And it's not illegal.
They sure didn't catch that, did they?
Catch it or not, I think they intended it. I don't think that's a loophole. I don't think yeah. that's a catch.
No, I hate the word loophole.
Let's go back to the beginning. One version of the bill had inhalation in it. One did not. They merged them. They purposefully took inhalation out of the bill.
Right. So now we know their intention.
Their true intent was not to stop you from inhaling vapor.
Mm-hmm.
It was to keep you from either burning it. All right. So that then we go to the third product.
Right.
Right. Now we have a consumable hemp product, which we know is something that has hemp in it. That's a human's either going to eat it or put it on their skin or hair.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We have a non-consumable hemp product, which is any unfinished or finished product not intended for humans to eat or put on their skin or hair. Then you have a smokable hemp product. And see, that's what freaked everybody out in the beginning.
Right.
Everybody in the beginning took this knee-jerk reaction that vaping right. was smoking.
Right.
Right? Everybody flipped out.
Right.
And they
it
started.
It drives me crazy that lots of people think that it is smoking.
Yes, but it's not. Now,
it's not.
And this is not John Fisher, lawyer playing doctor or scientist.
Right.
I literally have one of the premier, foremost scientific experts in the United States of America on staff, formerly at Ole Miss, who is called one of the pioneering fathers of gas and liquid chromatography.
Mm.
Okay. If there's anyone in this country that's qualified to know about this product, this substance, how to test it, and what to do with it, it's this guy.
Right.
And I have an official opinion, smoking, vaping, scientifically distinct, not the same. One destroys the product, which is burning, combusting mm-hmm. smoke. The other one simply changes it to a form within itself so that it can reconstitute itself when it's over.
Right.
And they're not the same. So smokable hemp products. So what is a smokable hemp product? Well, according to the legislature, let's look at what they say.
Right, because they're the experts.
Right. Well, they say that it is now this is not a laundry list, it's not exhaustive, but they say any plant product, hemp plant product, or raw hemp material that is marketed to consumers.
There's the rub.
marketed to a consumer as a hemp cigarette, a hemp cigar, a joint, a bud, a hemp flower, or ground hemp flowers. So if you look at what they're saying, okay, any hemp product, you cannot market it to a consumer as a smokable product.
Right.
I mean, because let's face it, I can take hemp bud, I can grind that up, I can put that literally directly into brownies or peanut butter cookies.
Right.
Okay? I can grind it up, and I can make a tincture out of it and extract it either into alcohol or butter and make butter to cook anything with it.
Right. You can even use it to make your own topical.
Absolutely. I could take that same ground-up bud, and I could put it in a vaporizer at 200 degrees Celsius and take all the oils out of it.
Vaporize
and I could completely. I could fill the room with it, smell it, smoke it, do whatever I want. Inhale it, right? So there are a million things you can do with hemp other than just burning it.
Right.
And so I believe that the legislature recognized that. They're like, hey, we know guys do a lot of things to get relief. But for some reason, we don't want you boys to burn it, right?
Right.
We don't My wife don't like the way it smells sitting around the country club pool.
Yes.
I like the way them drinks taste. You know, them little fruity cocktail drinks, they taste good. And them gummies, my kids love them gummies, but we don't like the way that stuff smells. So you ain't going to smoke it. I mean, seriously, tell me what sense does it make? You can drink it, you can eat it, but we're not going to let you smoke it.
Right.
That's the biggest bunch of crap. So anyway.
Right. I agree.
So the only thing about a smokable hemp product, it only becomes smokable if I market it that way.
According to the state of Alabama, that is true.
I mean, so I can have hemp in a package. The same package, I can make it three different things, sold, licensed. I can take a pack of hemp, and depending on the label I put, you can sell it in your licensed store or your unlicensed store.
Right.
Doesn't matter. If I tell you that it is a finished product that is intended for human consumption, meaning you're to go home, grind it, call it grind and go, grind it up, put it in your brownies, it's 10 milligrams per pack.
Right.
You can go do that.
Right.
But if I tell you that it's not for human consumption, you're supposed to go home and vaporize it, you don't need a license to sell that. You can sell it at the hardware store.
Right. Exactly. Anywhere.
I mean, does this make sense?
It does.
I mean, the law.
Words matter.
The law is very clear on what.
I will never forget it was more like a, not a light bulb moment, but a nuclear explosion moment in my brain when you sat there and pointed to that phrase, marketed as smokable.
That's right.
And I might have made different decisions.
I think a lot of people would
I might have done things a little different.
I think a lot of people would have.
Yeah.
And then once you start doing the research, and I sold, before I closed the store, I was selling cannabis tea. And people said, oh, well, that's just a loophole. I said, well, first of all, it's not a loophole. It's the law.
Right.
But secondly, go look it up.
Right.
There are ridiculous medicinal benefits to drinking cannabis tea.
Absolutely.
The fact that you
We've
didn't
always
do
sold
it,
tea.
Well, the fact that you didn't do it or that your friends didn't do it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist.
Right. It did. I mean, I've sold tea with hemp bud in it and other botanicals, you know, like hibiscus and oolong and chai and pumpkin spice and winter mint, and
you sold it with pumpkin spice. That's
I know.
They ought
it's
to like
a thing. It's
that
so
ought
gross.
Not even
it's
be.
It's a white girl thing.
Wow. No, that's an old white woman thing.
Yeah. Well, hey, I don't drink it.
But nobody wants weed and pumpkin spice.
Some people do, man. Some people do. People
I guess the right terpenes. I'm sure it would be.
Well, it's just like, why would anybody want a blue raz gummy? But I sold the snot out of the blue raz gummy
because they're good. And they make you feel nice.
To each his own.
Right.
Because our customer, Abraham, loved him some tea. And the Brothers Apothecary makes fantastic tea products with hemp flower in the tea bags.
There you go.
And we had that on the shelf for years. I just gave my sister-in-law some leftovers from the store, every flavor I had, you know, because tea has always been a thing.
So you're right. And that's a cool thing. There's a million other things I've learned since,
right?
And how people have used it. So bottom line, HB 445 created a category of consumable hemp products, and those are finished products that are intended to either be eaten or put on your skin or hair.
Mm-hmm.
Those are required to have a license in order to sell. a non-consumable hemp product. Obviously, it is an unfinished product or a finished product that is not intended to be eaten or applied to the skin or hair.
Right.
That would be something that I wanted to vape. A lot of people would come in my store. They don't want to use a vape, i.e. oil,
right,
because they don't necessarily trust it. Even though they're safe, I only stocked and sourced clean products.
Right.
Some people
have people
that.
Have had bad experiences from bad products.
And I'm not here to argue with them.
Right.
So I would then say, well, what about it? And they don't want to burn it. I mean, I get it. Some people,
right.
they're allergic to smoke. They don't like the smell of smoke.
Mm-hmm.
But they learned that you can vaporize your cannabis.
Right.
And then you don't
Lots
burn
of people
it.
Do.
You get the flavor. You get the benefits of the terpenes, the entourage effect of all the cannabinoids,
mm-hmm.
but you're not burning it.
Right.
And so
Which means less degradation of the actual product that you get. You get more cannabinoids and terpenes because you're not destroying that right. part of the plant. Because you do. That's why the conversion from THCA to THC is 0.87, because you're going to lose a little bit of that cannabinoid content from burning it.
Right. And I'm just consumable hemp products, you got to have a license. They're regulated. That's if you eat it or apply it to the skin or hair.
Mm-hmm.
If you vaporize it, you don't require a license.
Right.
It's not a consumable product. If it's vaporized, inhaling does not mean consumption within the law.
We'll be right back with John Fisher. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Attorney John Fisher, who
don't
lives
say
in-
that. That makes Attorney John. That makes me sound like some, I don't know, well, attorney.
They need to know that
all right.
Know what you're talking about.
I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express the other night. Right? So, if that counts.
Well, we wanted to bring this back, though, to the topic of the law of man versus the word of God.
Absolutely.
I think that that is something we cannot talk about enough. We've talked about inherent sovereignty on the show many times with multiple people. Rev.
Right.
J.C., Martin Smith, you know, you and I have had this conversation over and over, and I think it's worth repeating. You know, so I'm going to let you take that away. You know, you have something specific that you want to get off
no,
your chest.
No, I don't. I got a lot. That's where my wife really starts getting worried. Start talking about me getting stuff off my chest.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you know, Jim, we talked about this before. I went and lived in Hawaii for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I had an amazing opportunity with arguably one of the top 10 largest corporations in the world to do something, and I did.
Mm-hmm.
Little did I know that when I went there my entire life, my perspective, the way I see everything was going
right.
to change. God literally took me 5,000 miles away from everything I knew,
mm-hmm.
parked me in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and then a pandemic happened. And for 17 months, I was unemployed. The island was closed for a year and a half. And in that year and a half, I knew what it was like to need him again, to depend on God.
Mm.
And in that, through those 5 years, I mean, I realized I lived in Hawaii. It wasn't America. It wasn't even Hawaii. It was more Polynesia.
Right.
You know, and I became friends with local people, indigenous people, right?
Right.
And I realized that they're not like, quote, us, whoever us is, the proverbial us. Right?
The mainlanders.
I guess, you know, you know.
And, especially the southern ones.
Right. And so I really started examining what this was. And I began to see this convergence of East and West and the differences, the dichotomies.
Right.
And how Hawaiians are not Americans, thank God. And Polynesians, Hawaiians aren't even, I mean, they go back thousands of years. We've been over here a couple of hundred.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And so they've been shaped by Eastern culture. They've been shaped by a lot of things. But one thing that was amazing to me was many believed in God, and that many more were Christian.
Right.
And it's like, okay, wait a minute. You got guys not even, they don't look like me, they don't talk like, they got different culture, different language.
Everything is different.
Everything.
There.
And so then you begin to notice differences, right?
Right.
And I had my knee replaced, and my doctor suggested I go see the marijuana doctor.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I looked around like, what?
Yeah.
What? And so they come with an Eastern approach, and it's completely changed my mind. But then when you start talking to the everyday Hawaiian and you realize that they're Christians, they're believers, but they believe a little bit differently than we do.
Mm-hmm.
They believe more in the naturalness of God.
Right.
That the Creator, God, the Creator, created Earth. God created everything here for people
right.
to have and to use, and it was all good.
Right.
Because God made it, and what God made is good. We
right.
need to understand that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, for instance, in America, if you buy property on the beach, you own the beach, right?
Right.
You can put up, you stay off my sand. Not in Hawaii. Your property ends where the grass stops.
Yeah.
Because they believe culturally the sea is from God. People should not be denied access to water and to fish and to live, right? It's a different mindset.
Right.
They share. We're more me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I realized
conquerors.
That came from Europe. Right, the fuel,
right.
The law, the property system, owning something,
right,
excluding others,
right.
That wasn't their culture there.
Right,
I liked their culture better.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so I began to look and listen, and these guys had been using cannabis for thousands of years. And
right,
so I mentored for 5 years under a guy, and at the end of the day, Jen, this is what I have come to. Laws, right? They can pass all the laws they want.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to us whether we choose to operate within them or challenge them.
Right.
And in this particular instance, I firmly believe that HB 445 is unconstitutional. I believe that any law that infringes upon a religious right is unconstitutional,
right.
Period.
Now, tell
yep,
us.
Get it to
tell
me.
Tell us
you mean it's the religious right to smoke weed?
Yes. Let's talk about that verse.
Let's argue about it.
The very first book of the Bible.
Nobody wants to talk about it. They want to argue about it. God didn't say you could smoke weed,
right.
Did he?
But when God was creating the earth,
yes,
when
ma'am.
God was creating humanity and giving us authority over the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, the beast of the field, read it for us. This is part of that. God saying, these belong to you for food, for sustenance, for whatever, you know. Ride a horse, get to the place faster, and however that evolved. But let's talk about Genesis 1:29. Read it.
I tell you, this has been on the front door of my store since the day it opened.
Yep.
It came back to me. God showed me this verse one morning when I was struggling with man's law versus
right.
what
feeling
he
like
provided
a criminal.
Me.
Yeah.
Well, when I started using marijuana for my, I have a knee replaced,
mm-hmm.
right? And after 3 days in ibuprofen, I had had enough.
Mm-hmm.
You begin to realize that things changed in your life the moment you did something different. I used cannabis for pain relief, and I immediately stopped drinking. I didn't stop drinking. I just don't drink anymore.
Right.
I lost 45 pounds as a result of not drinking anymore.
Right. right? And a whole host of other things, I'm sure.
So many things in my life. PTSD, anxiety, anger. I'm a very intense individual. Anybody know this? Why half the people don't like me? That know me? And that's okay. I mean, but these things helped me.
Right.
And it wasn't alcohol and pills.
Right.
I've almost killed myself multiple times on purpose and not on purpose between alcohol and pills.
Mm-hmm.
Never cannabis. So God showed me this one day when I was really struggling about, God, I don't understand, right?
Right.
And he said, and this is, you know, Christians, we want to run to the Word of God and jump up and down on it when we believe it suits what we need it to suit.
Right.
So we have a lot of right-to-lifers, anti-abortion folks, anti-death penalty people. They say that, you know, the Bible says, thou shalt not murder, that life is precious to God. Okay.
Right.
And I am 100% on board, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
The problem for me is this. Genesis 1:29 says, behold, I have given you every plant-yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them as your food. That is a direct quote from God, our Father, the Creator. His shall, when he said, I shall have them, is no less effective than when he said, thou shall not murder.
Right, I agree.
So conscientious objectors can stand on thou shall not murder. Pro-lifers can stand on thou shall not murder. I believe people that believe in natural medicines, natural alternatives to poisons, synthetic pharmaceuticals, can stand on this verse right here just as equally as emphatic and as equally as applicable as it is to everything else.
Right.
If conscientious objectors in 65 and 68 could have the United States Supreme Court uphold their right to not go to war based on thou shall not murder, we have the right to have our access upheld because we shall have them as our food.
Right.
No one has asserted that as a religious right. Everybody says it's we've been using mushrooms for thousands of years, or we've been using peyote. It's our right. Wonderful. But I say, go to the Word.
Right.
That is a showdown that must come, and I believe it needs to come soon.
Absolutely. I think especially in a state like Alabama where everyone at the state house claims to be a Christian.
Well, they used to, listen, all the folks across Alabama used the Bible and all that anti-religious crap to not get vaccinated.
Right.
All right. Now,
I did it with my kids.
If you protect one religious right in America by the Constitution and the 14th Amendment, you must protect them all.
Right.
And I'm going to make sure that y'all do.
Right. I mean, you got to read it, though. Every plant yielding seed that is on the face of
all the earth.
The earth. That is very specific.
And it's pretty broad, right?
It is very specific. And in case we weren't fully bought into that, every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them as food. I'm afraid we're out of time tonight, but I want to say thank you so much.
Thank you.
We are going to revisit this, and not just with you. I actually have another guest.
Please.
That wants to hone in on this as well, because it is important. You know, we cannot just lie down and take whatever's handed to us. And I do believe HB 445 is not only unconstitutional, but it's not biblical.
It's not. Well, it's not nice.
It's not.
Know the law. Know your rights. And
and no fight God. For them,
right? You know,
fight for them. You know, the low voter turnout. The I mean, we are begging and pleading. I know Marty and I talk about this constantly. What in the world is it going to take? What do we have to offer the people of Alabama to get up and fight for themselves? Because there's millions of us,
and there's only
a couple hundred of them.
For me though, Jen, for me it's coming down to the religious right that I have.
Right.
I need to assert that no matter what anyone else does.
Thank you for being with us tonight. Next week we're going to talk to a lady from Texas who lost her store and is now running for Congress. God bless you, good night, and God bless Alabama Hemp.